While practicing Satipatthana meditation, in order to have encouragement for the yogis, they should have their goal. Whatever case it is, whether one is making a living, or when one is making a business, or when one is learning education, that should be a goal. And also in social work, also there should be a goal. Doing things without a goal will be just like crossing the river lengthwise. It will be like crossing the river, crossing the length of the river. Buddha taught in the Satipatthana the goal of the practice. And one has to realize the Nibbana by attaining Ariya Magga Jnana, the Noble Path knowledge, and Ariya Phala Jnana, fruition knowledge. So it is the most important goal as a Buddhist, as taught in the Mahasatipatthana Sutta. And also, there is the opposite of the goal. Samsara, Vata, which are the suffering of the rounds, continuous arising of these Nama Rupa. And Nisarana is the escaping
dukkha,
from
dukkha.
Mama. Samsara, Vata, Dukkha is the suffering of the rounds. While the rounds keep on rotating continuously, where the Nama Rupa are arising continuously. And Nisarana is the escape from these rounds. And one should know the correct method, how one should escape from these rounds. And by struggling oneself out of the rounds, one will become liberated. And it is the goal that one should aim for. One should aim to attain Nibbana as one's goal. And yesterday, Saraji explained the two kinds of sukha. The first one is Vedayita sukha, the happiness that is gained by coming into contact with the six sense objects. And Avedayita sukha is the happiness without coming into contact with the six sense object. And later on, Saraji will explain more in detail. And what Saraji will talk today is the questions to the... what Saraji will talk today are the answers to the questions that are left. First, Saraji had already answered the first questions. What is Satipatthana? And what is the meaning when two words, Sati and Patthana, are combined together? And today, Saraji will explain what one should be mindful of and how many kinds of Satipatthana there is. And if there is still time left, Saraji will continue to answer the other questions. Sati means remembering or being mindful, having mindfulness. And what one should be mindful of, in what kind of things one should be mindful of, is the question. Saraji explained the two kinds of conduct, the wrongful things, the wrongful conducts are the first one. So they are the evil conducts by body, speech, and mind. In Pali, they are called Ducharita, the evil conduct. So bodily wrongful conducts involves killing, stealing, sexual misconduct. And verbal misconduct involves lying, slandering, harsh speech, senseless talk. And mental misconduct are wanting to take other people's belongings by force. And it is an extreme form of greed. Wanting to destroy others, thinking that, is this fella not dead yet? It will be good if he dies, and so on. And the person has the wrongful thought wanting to destroy others, believing that good deeds do not bring good results, bad deeds do not bring bad results. So these are the mental evil conduct, and they are called docharita, evil conduct in Pali. In order not to let this evil conduct from arising, one should keep oneself safe and secure, protected by sati, mindfulness. So in order to have good conduct by body, speech, and mind, one should have mindfulness. And in order to have good thoughts, good conduct, one should always be mindful on the objects, and one should always practice to cultivate mindfulness. And when there is sustained mindfulness, the mind will not go onto the bad things. In this way, one has to keep control of the mind through mindfulness. As a human being, it is important to be a true human, to have humane mind, and to have human knowledge, and to become an outstanding person. One has the responsibility to refrain from things that should be refrained from. So one should refrain from the bodily misconduct, verbal misconduct, and mental misconduct. One should refrain from docharita, the evil conduct, by body, speech, and mind. And there are the things that one should perform. Sucharita, the good conducts, should be performed. So in this way, one should refrain from things that should be refrained from. One should perform things that should be performed. The example is given here. One should know what is unhealthy food. One should know it as unhealthy. And one should also know what are the healthy food that are suitable. If one cannot differentiate what is healthy and suitable, and what is not healthy and unsuitable, even if the person knows, if the person cannot avoid unhealthy food that are unsuitable, it will be harmful. And especially if one takes food that has poison, then it will give harm right away. And it is important to know what is healthy food that are suitable. And one should take healthy food that are full of vitamins and nutrients. And one should eat them. One should eat them a suitable amount of food and it will bring benefit, and the person will stay fit and healthy. In the same way, it is not just enough to know what are the things that should be refrained from, what are the things that should be performed, but one should avoid doing things that are unwholesome, that are wrongful, and one should perform things that are beneficial. So it is the responsibility of the person, and it is very important. One has the responsibility to refrain from things that should be refrained from. One should not fail to refrain. One should not be negligent from refraining. And one should refrain from these evil conducts. It is very important. If one is negligent, if one is lacking mindfulness, being negligent, failing to refrain from things that should be refrained from, it is called pamada. Pamada means heedlessness, negligence, failure, lacking mindfulness to refrain from things that should be refrained from. The opposite of pamada is apamada. Apamada means having mindfulness, not parting with mindfulness. And if one is having pamada, lack of mindfulness, heedlessness, negligence, one will fail, one will be negligent from refraining, and the person will not be humane. The person will be committing evil conduct such as killing, stealing, and so on. Even if the person refrain from it, but if the person is wanting to commit such things, the mind will not be pure, and his or her mind will not be humane. So one should know what is beneficial and what is not, what is wrong and what is right. Not being able to differentiate what are the evil conduct and what are the good conducts, one will be inhumane. One will not be a true human. One does not have the human knowledge, and one will not be an outstanding human. So in order to be a true human, to have a humane mind, to become an outstanding human, one should refrain from things that should be refrained from, as taught by the Buddha. If the person fails to refrain from wrongful actions, it will bring harm and danger. If one indulges in dosa, anger, not being able to control the anger, indulging in anger, there will be killing. And it shows that the person is negligent, failing to refrain from things that should be refrained from, and the person is breaking his or her moral conduct, and the person is also disturbing the surrounding. As the person fails to control one's own world, the surrounding world will also be disturbed. So as a human being, one should do one's responsibility of controlling oneself, refraining from wrongful conduct, so that one will not be hurting others, and thus one is protecting others from being hurt. In this way, controlling oneself, One is also keeping one's own world controlled, and one's surrounding will not be disturbed. If the person is failing to refrain from wrongful things, it is pamada, heedlessness, negligence, failure. Apamada means not parting with mindfulness, always being mindful to refrain from things that should be refrained from, always mindful to perform things that should be performed. Practicing the mental development practice that are high and noble. And while practicing as well, one should be mindful, one should not fail, or one should not be negligent in the practice. And not failing to perform things that should be performed, it is apamada. The person who knows that by being mindful of refraining from things that should be refrained from, the benefit one will get by performing things that should be performed, the person is not breaking his or her responsibility, knowing that if there is lack of mindfulness, failing to refrain, failing to perform things that should be performed, in this way, one will be able to stay away from wrongful things and to perform wholesome things. And thus, doing wholesome things, one will benefit. Refraining from misconduct, there will not be harm or danger. So it is very important to refrain from things that should be refrained from and to perform things that should be performed. And it takes apamada to be able to do so. Every human being has the responsibility of refraining from evil conduct and to perform wholesome good conduct. So that has to do with every human being, whatever his or her religion is, whatever his or her belief is. So it is the responsibility of every human being to refrain from this evil conduct and to perform good conduct. It is not a religion. It has to do with every person. It is the human discipline. So by doing thus, one's moral conduct will not be deteriorated and one will not be hurting others. In this way, one is keeping one's surrounding. In this way, one is keeping one's own world controlled as well as not disturbing the surrounding world. So it is important to have this human discipline. Every human being needs to have this discipline to refrain from this evil conduct and to perform good conduct, so that the person himself, herself, will be morally uplifted and will shine with good qualities, and one will have the norm or the good standard. If the person fails to control himself, herself, the person is also breaking his or her responsibility as a human being. And thus, the person is harming himself, herself, as well as harming others. The person himself, herself, will be morally degraded. Having a good control of oneself, one will be in high standard, good standard, as well as conducive for the surrounding. So one should understand differentiating what kind of benefits one will get by being mindful, what will be the harm by lacking mindfulness. Differentiating thus, one will be able to refrain from wrongful action and one will be able to perform good conduct. It is the nature of human being that Baba Samin Remedy Mano, it is the nature of human being that the mind takes delight in unwholesome, inferior things. If one does not form or shape himself, herself. So the mind takes delight in things that are inferior, unwholesome, which is the nature. So one has to practice in order to keep oneself pure, clean, and wholesome. If one does not shape or form oneself, one will be walking on the Adhamma path, wrongful path. So one needs to shape or form oneself so that one will be on the Dhamma path. But most of the people do not walk on the Dhamma path. There are only few who walks on the Dhamma path. So according to the teachings, only one out of 100,000 gives priority to the Dhamma. So the other people, the majority of the people, are doing, talking, thinking, unwholesome, inferior things. Saraji gives an example. Now, where the technology is much advanced, there are many cars, many factories, so there are the smog coming from these factories, cars, the e-smog, and the air gets polluted with the toxic. Having to inhale polluted air, it is a threat to the health, having headache, and so on. So it is very important to have fresh air. So sila, samadhi, and panya, morality, concentration, and wisdom are like fresh air. And when having this opportunity to breathe in sila, samadhi, panya, fresh air, it is important to breathe in sila, samadhi, panya, fresh air sufficiently. Having inhaling polluted air, it is a threat to the health and it can even be fatal. So one should avoid inhaling polluted air. In the same way, one should refrain oneself from wrongful actions by body, speech, and mind. Just as one needs to inhale fresh air, in the same way, one needs to practice sila, samadhi, and panya, and one should perform these wholesome good conduct. Just as every person needs to inhale fresh air, just as fresh air is suitable for everyone, in the same way, sati, mindfulness, is essential for everyone. And one should understand what is suitable and beneficial for everyone. Understanding the benefits of Satipatthana practice, one will understand that Satipatthana is essential for everyone, just as fresh air is essential for everyone. By inhaling fresh air, getting the oxygen, there will be good blood circulation. It is conducive for health, and one will value the fresh air. In the same way, understanding the benefits of Satipatthana practice, one will cherish and value the Satipatthana practice, and one will become one out of 100,000 who give priority to the Dhamma, and the person will walk on the straight path of the Dhamma. That should be sati, the appamada, not failing, not being negligent to refrain from evil conduct and to perform things that should be performed. And there are two kinds of sati. The first one is karapaka sati, and the second is karaka sati. The first one, karapaka sati, is the mindfulness that is inciting oneself to be mindful. For example, there is an urgency in the mind that one should practice at this time, at this age, while there are the favorable conditions and opportunity. So it is the kind of mindfulness, the inciting mindfulness to practice at this time, at this age, where there are favorable conditions. So this karapaka sati can be obtained from the Kalyanamita, true companion, or from learning theory and understanding the benefits of Satipatthana practice. Having this karapaka sati, one will practice. And there involves karaka sati. Karaka sati means the worker sati, the practical sati, putting into practice, refraining from things that should be refrained from, performing things that should be performed, refraining from docharita, evil conduct, and performing sucharita, good conduct. So it is not just enough to have the sati that knows what should be done, what should not be done, but one should do it practically. That should be karaka sati, the worker sati or practical sati that really puts it into practice. By being mindful of whatever object that is arising at the present moment, without failing, without missing, is karaka sati, the practical sati. And one should do it dutifully, honestly, by being mindful of every object, and one will get earning. One will earn the love from others, such as when the others see such kind of yogi practicing diligently, respectfully, the others will see how diligent yogi this person is, going slowly, mindfully, in the bending, stretching, sitting down, standing up, doing everything slowly, mindfully, and being able to report accurately. So when the surroundings see such kind of yogi, yogi will be loved by whoever see him or see her. In the practice, one should know what one should be noting, what one should be mindful of. There are four kinds of objects: kaya, vedana, citta, and dhamma. The body, feelings and sensations, the mind, and the general objects. Among them, kaya means the group of materiality. In the body, there are groups of materiality such as hardness, softness, fluidity, cohesion, congealing, wetness, dryness, heaviness, warmth, heat, cold, lightness, stiffness, tension, movement. So these are the names of nature or the characteristics. To put them in everyday language, they are rising, falling, sitting, touching, bending, stretching, turning, opening and closing of the eyes, blinking. All of these are kaya, and one should be mindful at the moment the object arises. And when unpleasant sensations such as pains and aches arise, one should note them with patience and forbearance. One is not noting the pain so as to get rid of it, but one has to note it so as to understand it. Practicing Satipatthana meditation, one has to be mindful to understand. Whether the object is good or bad, whether the object is desirable or undesirable, one should be mindful of it as it is. So if there are pains and aches, one should note these pain with patience and forbearance. And one should not move or shift posture within the hour. Noting pain with patience and forbearance, when the person sees the pain itself, there is no leg, no knee, no hand, there is no eye. What really is there is the pain and the noting mind that knows it. So when the yogi sees the pain itself, without the hand or feet or leg, even though it is painful, noting the pain becomes pleasant, even having to note the pain. So it becomes the pleasant pain. And when the pain disappears, sometimes the yogi even wants the pain again, thinking that when noting the pain, I was noting good, the noting was pleasant. Yogi can even challenge the pain. Let it come, I will note. In this way, yogi should note it with diligence. And by noting the object, when the mind becomes calm, collected, the mind does not go elsewhere. The mind will not be distracted. The mind will not be scattered. The mind will not be distant from the object, but the mind falls calm, collected on the object. When lust arises in the mind, one should be mindful. By being mindful of the lust, when lust passes away, the wholesome mind arises, and one should be mindful of it. When undesirable things arise, when there is anger, hatred, aversion, one should be mindful of it. By noting the anger, when the anger goes away, the mind becomes wholesome and one should note it. In this way, by noting thus, one will be aware of the unwholesome or wholesome mind. When there is lack of mindfulness, one should notice it. When one becomes sleepy, one should note it. When the mind gets distracted, one should note it. And when these emotions when these thoughts or imaginations or wandering arise, one should note them as soon as they arise. So one will know what arises in one's mind, whether it is wholesome or unwholesome. And the general objects such as seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting, touching, one should note it. One should note it as seeing, hearing, and so on. And when there is angry mind, note it. When the mind becomes dull, note it. When there is boredom, note it as bored. When there is wandering, note it as wandering. When there is distraction, note it as distraction. When there is worry, note it as worry. When there is restlessness, note it as restless. And when there are doubt and confusion arises, will I ever be making progress or will I ever be cultivating samadhi? When that kind of thought arises, note it. If there is confusion, note it as confused. If one is doubtful, note it as doubtful. So these are also to be noted. And when there is joy, one should note it as joyous. When there is happiness, one should note it as happy. When one feels tranquility, note it as tranquil. So these are the objects that one should be noting. One should be mindful of these four kinds of objects: kaya, vedana, citta, and dhamma. By noting these objects, one will discern and one will cultivate knowledge. By being mindful of the object, one will discern distinctly between the nama rupa, cause and effect, and the characteristics, impermanent, suffering, and non-self. In order to discern, one should be mindful. So in oneself, there are many objects that should be noted. One should not be looking elsewhere, but in oneself, there are objects that one should be noting. There are various objects that will not end. And what should one be mindful of? One should be mindful of whatever object that is arising. One should be mindful of the object which are among the four field of objects to be noted. And one has the duty to be noting the presently arising object. In the beginning of the practice, one should start with the bodily action, which are the most obvious. By being mindful of the object, one is refraining from what should be refrained. One is performing what should be performed. Having mindfulness, one will not be negligent. One will not fail. One will not be heedless. And one is practicing being mindful every single second according to how the Buddha liked it to be. So how satisfying it is to be mindful every single second. And this explains what one should be mindful of, or what objects should the person be mindful of. There are four fields of objects to be noted. Among the four fields of objects, one should be noting the object that is arising at the present moment. And Buddha taught, Bhutan Bhutato Pasati, one should be mindful in the way the object really is. So this defines the object, pinpointing what should be noted. One should be noting the presently arising object, which is included in the four fields of objects to be noted. So in this way, one should be noting the object that is arising at the present moment. The example is given here. if there is a group photo, and in the group photo, when the person wants to look at a certain person in the group photo, one has to circle it and pinpoint the person to take a look at him or her who is in the group photo. In the same way, there are various objects arising, and within these objects, one should note the object that is most obvious. In order to be a true yogi, a genuine yogi, one should understand the benefit of practice, and there are three things to follow. The first one is practice respectfully. When sitting down, standing up, do it slowly, noting it respectfully. The second is one's noting should be meticulous and thorough so that the mindfulness will be continuous. And the third is, apart from sleeping hour, there should not be stopping or resting. One should practice without stopping, without resting, apart from sleeping hours. So these three are the things that should be done as a yogi, and it is the duty of the yogi. Sakhu ma sa yatha ando, meaning that even though yogi has eyes, but one should act like a blind person, not paying attention to what he or she sees. A blind person does not look around. In the same way, yogi must not look around. Yogi should act like a blind person. Sota va padiro yatha, even though one has the ears, but one should act like a deaf person. So if whenever the yogi hears the sound, if the yogi is paying attention to what he hears, what she hears, being interested in that sound, then he or she is missing or failing to note the object. Panya vasa yatha mugo, even if the yogi might have general knowledge, but don't reflect on this general knowledge during the practice, please leave your knowledge alone and please be mindful of the presently arising object. So one should be noting the object as instructed. One should act like a dumb person. Even if the person may be dumb, he or she can do what is being told to do. In the same way, yogi should note the object as being instructed, acting like a dumb person, not reflecting what he or she had learned before. Balava dobaloriva, meaning that yogi should act like a weak, feeble person. A sick person who is weak and feeble moves slowly. In the same way, yogi should do things slowly, mindfully, just like a weak and feeble person. And when pains and aches arises, one should act like a dead person. So you can see the corpse, the dead body in the cemetery. Whatever you do to it, it wouldn't do anything back. So it will just accept whatever you do to it. In the same way, when there are pains and aches, just be like a dead person, not doing anything, but being mindful of the pain, noting it. And one has to note the pain so as to understand it. By noting the pain, one can understand the unpleasant touch of the pain, how the pain withers the mind, how tormenting the pain is, and one will come to understand the nature. So it is very important to note it with patience and forbearance so that you will understand it. And Saraji sees that some of the yogis are not Restraining their eyes, they are looking here and there, and Saraji encourages not to let it happen. Please do not look around, but concentrate on your own practice. And this will be all for today. Sadhu, sadhu.